Before we begin, permit me to thank those of you who have responded already to our encouragement to join us on our No Retreat Advancing the Gospel Together Spring Matching Gift Campaign. Wow, that's a long title, but wow, are we glad that so many of you have already said we would like to support a ministry that will not retreat, that will proclaim the gospel rightly and loudly. And they will do it all in service to the local church. We have huge plans coming up for the next year. And I would like to again encourage those of you who have not yet become a gospel partner, would you please consider joining us? Your gift will be doubled. It is our spring matching gift campaign, which means your gift will go a very long way. And we will be very grateful, and we will never stop proclaiming the gospel. FortisInstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the world wide web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
From the lesser to the greater. This is Wretched Radio. Granted, these might be my personal peccadilloes, but methinks they are more than peeves. They are genuine complaints. Well, at least the greater one is. What is the greater lament that I have that just I think that we need to recognize as evangelicals is a major problem? We don't preach the gospel rightly. Even on Easter, as I fear you're about to hear. But my lesser peeve is a low view of what it is that we do on Sunday morning. We are gathered to do what? To glorify God. How do we do that? With regulated elements, with the prescription that God has given for worship. I, God, the object of your worship, want you to worship thusly, and he gives us those elements: Bible reading, prayer, worship, preaching, the Lord's table. These are elements that are non-negotiable. And I fear in our current culture, we've forgotten what each of these elements are. They're an offering to God. And the sermon, at least I think mostly among evangelicals, most would agree that would be the highlight element of the church service. So my question and my minor, lesser peeve is, why do we treat it so casually and inject ourselves into what is supposed to be worship of the triune God? A case in point, let me take you to a church where they typically do some sort of wacky Christmas pageant based on a Bruce Willis movie, because they're current, contemporary, and hip. They have put on a massive spectacle. It's a huge multi-campus church. And it is yet another example. This happens to be from Easter Sunday. Another example of approaching church and the liturgical elements, the regulated elements that God himself has prescribed, so casually.
Oh, what is up, Church by the Glaze?
Okay, three pet peeves. hey, church. And why is everybody applauding so raucously for the entrance of the pastor? And why is it that this particular preacher, like so many, feels the need to talk about himself?
I'll begin the talk this way. My doctor is making me do cardio now. I got to do cardio. I like to lift weights.
Anybody curious about what this has to do with Easter? Jesus Christ rising indeed? Or with his text, frankly, which is John 11. Maybe that's the segue. Oh, my hell. I got to keep myself healthy or I could be like Lazarus. Oh, I see what he did right there. Me. Talking about self. Now, the methodology of introducing the sermon with kind of casual talk and just being chumps with people. The thinking behind this methodology is that the individual, the pastor, becomes relatable. They're not too lofty. They're not just standing in a pulpit declaring the word of God. I just said that sentence out loud. That's the critique. You can't just stand there and declare that this is what God has to say, which is exactly what I thought preaching was. No, instead, you have to regale people with stories or with a really lame joke before you start the sermon. And this is a peeve of mine because I don't think any of this has anything to do with the worship of our triune God.
But Dr. Chin said, Dave, you got to add more cardio to your workout routine, take care of the heart. And so I'm doing it because Dr. Jessica is a very good doctor. So I'm doing it.
Did he say Dr. Jessica?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
So at my gym, there's a whole row at the Athletic Factor of elliptical machines. There's 13. I counted how many. So I'm doing cardio on the elliptical, not my favorite thing. And I pick because there's no one in the gym. It's quiet time, mid-afternoon.
This guy talks, doesn't he?
So I pick one, not on the very edge, but like if you're counting like machine number four, they're not really number. I'm there doing my thing and a new guy walks in the gym. I kind of know most of the regular. A new guy walks in. He's going to do cardio as well. Awesome. But
Jimmy, isn't it great to know the pastor? Now I can relax and actually take in the sermon. Because I just relate to this guy because, you know, I don't like doing the elliptical either. And this is crazy. I've been on machine number four when a guy walked up.
But that guy, that guy picked the machine right next to me. There's like over a half dozen machines, nobody on. He picks, there's just two of us. Heck, that guy picks the one next to me. And that guy was one of those kind of guys. That guy, well, he works out, he makes lots of weird noises and grunts and sweats profusely. That guy is right. That guy, who's this guy? That guy right in my space, right?
It's interesting that this type of blathering happens before the sermon. And perhaps it happens before worship, but it almost seems to me, my observation in evangelicalism is that worship is treated more reverently than the sermon itself. Can you imagine? Okay, I'm going to be the worship leader. All right. So, Jimmy, you got to be prepared to whoop and holler for me.
Okay.
All right. So the countdown clock goes 3, 2, 1, and out I come.
Woo!
Yeah. Church! Glad you're feeling great, man, because I got to tell you, my lower back. You ever done that? You just went to pick something. I was picking up a hanger. Of all the crazy things, I was just picking up a hanger. I bend over, but it just goes pop. You know, you feel it, and you go, oh, no, this one's going to last a long time, but it's Saturday. The chiropractor isn't open. You ever get that feeling? you ever get that feeling? Now, here's where the clever worship leader will have enough sense to actually turn it into a segue. You ever have that feeling? You know, the feeling that so many of us have when we just feel that there's nobody to help us. So come on, church. Oh, the lights are already dim. So let's just raise our hands and start to worship. Now, if somebody started doing that, you would rightly ask the question, what do you have to do with worship? Why are you injecting yourself in this? I think that it would be more remarkable if it were during the music. Why not during the sermon?
My personal space. God, the great God of heaven, the God who made the universe with a word, the God of the Bible is a that guy kind of God.
What happened? Jimmy, can you just translate what happened?
I cannot.
I have to rewind this because I'm almost wondering, did they just somehow edit it out?
Maybe.
Because they missed something here?
That guy, who's this guy? That guy right in my space, right in my personal space.
How dare he get into your personal space? Wait a second. Your personal space, I think, begins and ends on your piece of equipment. Could be wrong. I don't think there's a rule that says every other.
God, the great God of heaven. The God who made the universe with a word, the God of the Bible is a that guy kind of God.
I'm sorry. I find that entirely mysterious and completely baffling and nonsensical. Do I care to listen to him try to unpack that? No, I don't. Instead, what I would prefer to do is to go to the very end of the sermon. Now, I grant you, I could have missed it because I frankly couldn't tolerate the entire sermon. He was preaching, presumably, on Lazarus being raised from the dead, kind of the precursor resurrection. And there is a connection between the Lazarus resurrection and Jesus' crucifixion, in that it really ignited the intensity of the persecution against Jesus. This was really the final straw, if you will, for the religious leaders. So there is a connection. Why he was preaching about it on Easter Sunday, I don't know. But I would like to fast forward into the end of it, the culmination of his sermon, where he is doing an altar call. Now, if prior to what you're about to hear, he had answered the big why question, some of this wouldn't be half bad, honestly. It really wouldn't. It wouldn't be half bad. He's clearly he's a smart fellow. I think he's misguided, but he's a smart fellow, and he can certainly talk a mile a minute. Some of it was actually quite fine. And yet, because I don't think that he answered the why question, it is almost nonsensical in that it doesn't provide the information necessary to appropriate the good stuff that he did preach. What is the why question? It's two things. It's my larger pet peeve, and it is failing to explain why we need Jesus. And I would offer to you that simply saying he died for our sins ain't enough. Why? Why did he die for our sins? Why do I need to respond in repentance and faith? It is, I believe, in my estimation, not just my personal large pet peeve. I think it's a pandemic in evangelical Christianity that we aren't explaining the why we need Jesus. Next on Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. The church has been quietly backing up for years. A doctrine gets a little uncomfortable, a truth sounds a little too exclusive, so we set it aside. And before long, the gospel sounds more like an apology than an announcement. Fortis Institute is determined to push the other direction, to encourage churches to hold fast to hard truth and to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rightly and loudly. That's why we're inviting you to join us on the No Retreat Spring Match Campaign. Right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give is matched dollar for dollar, and your gift will help launch two new podcasts, publish Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, through HarperCollins, and fund gospel proclamation on college campuses. The gospel doesn't move backward, and neither should we. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria
was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Feel free to disagree. This is Wretched Radio, but do so at your own peril, because don't forget I'm a talk show host, and we, as Michael Knowles, you never back down, even though what you said about a man's wife was horrific and entirely offensive. Can't back down and say, oops, I didn't have all of the facts. Sorry about that. So note, if you're going to disagree, what's my peeve? It is failing to preach all of the elements needed for people to understand the necessity of Easter. And I suspect and I fear that that happened in countless churches. Now, is it conceivable that a pastor can forget an element here or there? Sure, it is. But I see regularly there are so many elements missing so consistently. I think this is a really big problem, church. Could this be why evangelical Christianity, while the conservative branch is growing, that big Eva is becoming medium Eva, and pretty soon it's going to be small Eva, because they're not preaching the gospel? And I see this constantly. All I had to do was look for an Easter service from Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. This is a mega church. Now, we're going to assume that this pastor has not explained the why. The why being why we need Jesus. He will say that he died for our sins. We all affirm that. Furthermore, I'll concede some of the stuff that he said was super fine. It was actually really good. But without explaining why we need Jesus, that if you do not have your sins expiated and you are not propitiated, then you will face a furious God on Judgment Day. You will face the full fury of the Creator of the universe. It's a horrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And because he is righteous and he is holy and he is just, he will have his day in court, and he will sentence guilty criminals, and he will punish them with eternal conscious torment. That's why you need Jesus. You need to be saved from the wrath that is to come. Without Jesus Christ, you're not just without hope, because you're not going to get snuffed out. You are going to suffer torment forever, because it's exactly what you've earned for yourself. Do not trifle with Almighty God, who is rich in mercy and willing to forgive. And that's why he sent his son Jesus. Now, if he explained that and I missed it, well then, my apologies. But I don't think that that happened. Not in any significant way that would explain to the hearer, this is why you need Jesus. So here is the lengthy, this would be the altar call, if you will.
All these great scholars and preachers and dead guys who wrote books. But the best thing I think I got was from my 10th grader, who said, how cool, Dad, how cool, Zane said, how cool the guy that Jesus raised from the dead, and this big miracle, named Lazarus.
Oh boy, really? That was better than all the Puritans and dead guys you read? Really? Your teenager saying, how cool, Dad, it's Lazarus. See, Lazarus. You know what he did there?
Because the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Now, what preceded Romans chapter 10? 9 chapters explaining the justice of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, the necessity of Jesus Christ. What he said is right, but without context, without explaining the why,
We're the sequel. Jesus didn't just love Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He loves us. And the Bible, again, this is history. It is science. But it's mainly a love story. How many times does this show up? Read the whole chapter that Jesus loved them and they loved Jesus. It's by the love. He stayed. And why did he stay? And I don't know, but he shows up and he saves the day. But
no, I actually don't have any issue with this, style aside. He's talking about the love of Jesus when he saw his beloved friend Lazarus. He wept. Jesus loved them. Jesus loves his children. No argument.
But here the king of the universe weeps because he loved them in the prequel.
Now, might I add this, incidentally, as long as I'm peeving, there is a group inside of conservative evangelicalism that won't preach about that, the love of God. That too is oftentimes missing. So this isn't just a harangue against big Eva-type preachers. Conservative expositors can so often forget he did this because he loves us. That's what makes grace amazing. Sometimes our circles can fail to include elements like this.
Then he beat death in the blockbuster. But we can be the sequel today. You can come to a prayer party when I shut up in just about 90 seconds and give yourself by faith on Easter weekend to Jesus. It's a love story. I love that you say, see how much he loved him. See how much he loves us. Jesus loved the glory of heaven.
Now, I wonder if he's going to say he loved us and demonstrated by dying on a cross while we were yet sinners.
To come to earth, see how much he loves us. He went from being the maker of the universe to being a helpless baby. See how much he loves us.
Okay, this is actually pretty good oratory. I don't know if you dig the guy's style or not, but this is pretty good oratory, and it focuses on the love of God. Remember John 3:16, it is about the love of God that was the impetus for sending his son.
He lived a normal life for 30 years, having to obey his parents, learn a skill, get sick, get hurt, be mistreated. See how much he loves us. He was born into a poor family with no influence whatsoever. See how much he loves us. He spent 3 years teaching and healing people. And while some people believed and followed, others sought to trap and destroy him. See how much he loves us. He poured into 12 disciples day and night, teaching them and training them so they could carry his message into the world. But they constantly argued, they bickered, jockeyed for position, and they even denied and abandoned him when he needed them most. See how much he loves us.
If I could hear the guy. Okay, I turned it up to 1.25 speed just because. The music, why the necessity of the music? Ah, manipulation.
And even though he never sinned and only came to do God's will, he was betrayed, falsely accused, unjustly arrested, cruelly beaten, maliciously mocked, and sentenced to die a cruel and painful death. See how much he loves us.
Did you hear the why, though? Did you hear the why? Our need for a savior.
He hung on a cross, giving his life for your sin. He refused to lash out.
Now, give his life for your sin. Why? Why? Because if you do not receive this free gift of grace, you will pay for your sins for eternity. I doubt the word hell was used. I'll be shocked if it is.
He refused to come down. He refused to fight back. Even though with one word, an angel army would have come to his defense. See how much he loves us. He cries out, why have you forsaken me? Heaven responded, it's either you for 3 days or them for eternity. And he chose to stay.
Wow, how's about that music? I'm turning it back to one speed just because it's turning into a cacophony because he talks so fast and the music is so manipulative.
See how much he loves us. For 3 days, the maker, giver, and source of life tasted death. He was cut off from God so he could be cut into love with the Father. See how much he loves us.
Did that make sense? He was cut off so that you wouldn't be cut off from the love of the Father.
And then on the third day, on Easter Sunday morning, he defeated death once and for all. He arose again. He's reigning forever now at the right hand of God, unmatched in glory, undefeated in victory. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you may be saved.
From what?
see how much he loved us.
Not bad oratory.
I don't care what part of the gospel, the prequel or the blockbuster or the sequel. It's a love story God wants to write with you. So I'm going to pray right now. The prayer partners will take their place. If you want not a religion, but a relationship, a romance with God, come find one. Now, if you don't know for certain and sure that you are a saved person.
From what?
I'm not talking about joining our church or a denomination. Who cares? I want you to join the family of God. See how much he died on that cross for you.
Why?
See how much he suffered for you.
Why?
See how much he shouldered the sin of the world for you and me.
Why?
Father God, we thank you for the Easter message, for everything after Easter, everything before Easter. You're in all of it, God. Thank you, Jesus, for how much you loved us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Was everything wrong? No. But without explaining the why, frankly, none of that to the uninitiated makes sense. Is it my pet peeve? Perhaps. But I would forward, I think it should be all of our pet peeves. This is Wretched Radio.